Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a great question from listener Renna from over in the United Kingdom. She says her Christmas celebration is at stake one day to visit Walt Disney World while they're in Central Florida. So we're going to take care of that here in just a minute. First, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone XS Max, and I can see that we're down to 56 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019. That's right. We are under 2 months till it's time to run 48.6 magical miles. You can get excited just like I do every time I place a phone call, get a text message, or post to social media. Right now, I'm looking at a great picture of the Imagination Pavilion with the water up on a beautiful summer's day, I'm sure. Sure looks great with the snow falling outside the studios right now. Grab these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. They're over at virtualmickey.com. As the holidays approach, we really appreciate it when you use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It'll cost you exactly the same. You'll get all of your Prime benefits and more, but it does help support the show with each and every purchase. So please, as the holidays approach, bookmark the site on all your devices. Doesn't take you much longer, and it really does help support the show. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1407 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the jolly old agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. I guess it's that season now. I guess I can be a jolly old agent, elf kind of thing. Hey, that's what we do. We make magic kind of like the elf. So anyway, we are here to answer your list of questions. Going to have a great time here on a Wednesday. Hope this show finds you well. The crew's all here. We've got great questions lined up to knock down. We've got a great live audience here on Be Live, which you can join us on Mondays around 5:30 Eastern most weeks. We're going to have a great time. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, and rumor has it she might be working for the Geek Squad soon, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
I hate technology. But thank God for pucks. So if it wasn't for having a puck, I wouldn't be able to do this. So
in Ethernet cords. Ethernet beats Wi-Fi every time. That's it. All right. So yes. Getting ready for the big folks coming down for Thanksgiving, I guess, next week?
Actually, they are coming down tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So, they're coming into town, and Casey comes into town. Casey and Kurt come into town on Tuesday, so it's going to be a full house for sure. It's going to be fun, though.
I've seen too much of that show. Don't need to see anymore. Cut it out.
Pam hasn't. Pam can watch it all the time.
All right. Also, Jordy, speaking of Pam, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday, Pam. What's up?
Happy Wednesday. Glad to be talking. So I'm excited to do the question show today. And then also on Friday's show, we're going to be talking about the holiday stuff, which I leave soon.
I'm really
excited about that. This year, more than anything, like, they've taken what used to be like Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, which used to be sort of the highlight of all the holiday events, and they've stretched it out in the things that happen at just about all of the parks now. Like, it's so much more than it used to be. And we were just saying before we started recording that it used to be only Disneyland that got this like list of all these cool foods and snacks that people could have over certain, you know, holidays and events and stuff like that. Well, Walt Disney World has a whole huge one too. So anyways, I'm excited about this show, but I'm teasing next show.
Yeah. Friday's going to be interesting because we do want to have a discussion. You know, you can bring in New Year's. They just announced over at Fort Wilderness. You got this special event in Tony's Town Square, the Town Square area with inside Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So many treats, the cute popcorn buckets that are the aliens. Like, I mean, it really, this year among, you know, I've been watching this for 10, 12 years with the holiday season coming to Walt Disney World, but this year especially, I mean, they are tempting you hard to get down there. And it's working, I think. The crowds are gathering. I think people want to go. It's a foodie destination for sure this year.
Oh man, it is. When they put out those lists of like, here's all the new food that you can try, it's like, I think I need to try like 50% of these things.
Yes, exactly.
I think I need that pine cone. Anyway, we'll talk about that on Friday. So let's get to the listener questions. We've got some questions in the email. We've got some questions in the chat. We're going to get to as many as we can. First question comes all the way from the UK. It's from Rena. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My husband and I are traveling across the pond from the UK to visit my parents for Thanksgiving in less than 10 days. At the end of our trip, we'll be spending one day at the Magic Kingdom Park and staying overnight at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. But we're also planning to visit each of the resorts in the Magic Kingdom area to see their Christmas decorations. We've never been to Walt Disney World during the holiday season, so I'd like to plan to make the experience as magical as possible. In your opinions, am I correct in thinking that it would be best to view the Christmas tree at Disney's Wilderness Lodge at night? We're planning to take a boat across from the Magic Kingdom after Happily Ever After and enjoy a festive drink at Wilderness Lodge after seeing the tree. Would Territory Lounge be the best place for this? We would have done a monorail loop to view the other Magic Kingdom area resorts that afternoon. Could you help ease my mind that we're doing this the right way? Thanks for all the great Disney info and laughs you provide on a weekly basis. Kind regards, Rena. All right, so Pam, what do you think? I mean, they're talking about doing the monorail loop in the afternoon, going to the Magic Kingdom, you know, doing the Magic Kingdom stuff, Happily Ever After to close out the night, then heading over to Wilderness Lodge, maybe a drink at Territory Lounge. Any suggestions here for that one day, one night?
I love the idea, of course, of Territory Lounge. You know, that's one of my favorite places to go. So I think that that's great. You know, that's a great place to start. And I think being able to see the Wilderness Lodge at the holidays makes it even more special. Don't you guys agree? I mean, it's just, it takes the Wilderness Lodge and cranks it up to, and it's
11. It cranks it up to 11.
On a scale of 1 to 10 during the holidays, it's an 11 plus plus plus, I will just say, because it's just such a great resort. And the holiday theme just sort of fits with that resort, I think. So love that option. So looking forward to seeing all those decorations for sure.
And the great thing about going over to Wilderness Lodge to see the views after, you know, I think they're doing this the exact right way after Happily Ever After is that, you know, a resort doesn't close. So you can do that late at night, you know, and get that drink before the lounge closes, but those stay open late, you know, past midnight. So that's great. The only other thing I might consider just to throw one more variable in there is if the weather is nice, which it could be that it's November 26th. It's the day before my birthday. Is that if it's a nice night, head out to Geyser Point and get a drink out there because, you know, you're going to go back to the UK and you're going to be stuck for like 6 months of terrible weather, just like here in Missouri, you know? So if you can sneak out one more night where you can have a drink outside in palm trees and cool breezes, do that after you see the tree. Ricky, any other thoughts on this?
I think they have a great plan. Wilderness Lodge is seriously one of my favorite places to be for the holidays. It's so cozy. You get the fireplace and the whole place just screams like Christmas with the tree up and everything. So I think they have a great plan, and Territory Lounge is a fantastic place to stop for that drink. Although, like you said, Geyser Point may be good. It depends on the weather, to be perfectly honest. Like, it's going to depend. If it's still warm out, then yeah, head on down to Geyser Point because you can see potentially the electric water pageant too, which would be nice. So depending on the time. So yeah, that's what I suggest.
The electric water pageant like goes scarily close to Geyser Point. Like, it's like right there. It's like in your face. It's like, that's really, really close. So a couple times I saw it there. All right, next question. We're going to go to the chat here from Natalie. It says, I have tickets for early morning magic in Fantasyland and have the breakfast at Cosmic Rays. However, I already have a reservation at Be Our Guest for breakfast. Where should I go for breakfast that morning? All right, so Pam, what do you think there? She's got the tickets for early morning magic, the Fantasyland thing, but she's also got Be Our Guest. What should she do?
I think you got to stick with what's included in the thing you already paid for.
I'm saying,
if you want to know the truth, that, you know, that's what all three of us would do probably. So if you really want to go to Be Our Guest for breakfast, you can schedule that. Try to schedule that another morning. I realize it's a little challenging. The only reason I would make that a must do for breakfast is if you haven't had an opportunity to see inside the castle and you know that you really want to do that. But I would definitely try to make it either for breakfast or lunch on another day. Absolutely include the breakfast that's included with your early morning magic ticket. You'll enjoy that. You've already paid for it. And, you know, take advantage of that, I say.
All right. Let's get to the next question here in the chat. It's from Jillian. It's kind of a personal question, which I think is kind of interesting. What's your favorite character interaction you've ever had? And who would you recommend as a must-see character down at Walt Disney World? So my favorite character, just like overall favorite character, is Buzz Lightyear, because I've, you know, worked at Space Camp. I'm a space nut. Toy Story is my movie. That's like the story of my life with all those toys. But I don't know if that was my favorite interaction. What I think, I don't know, because my favorite interactions have typically been more with like Main Street characters or Streetmosphere characters at the studios. Like, those are my favorite character interactions. But if you're talking about Disney characters, I'll have to think about that one. Pam, do you have one that comes to mind and must-dos that you don't want to miss?
So, I, you know, what's funny is I remember when Anna and Elsa first started appearing at Walt Disney World. And we, you know, went ahead and did that because, of course, it was the newest thing, right? And so it was something that everyone did. But they actually are both really good when you meet them. And there's something about meeting with the characters that can actually interact with you more face-to-face, can talk with you and ask you questions and things like that. Not that all the characters aren't wonderful. Like, it's awesome. Like, I remember when you used to meet with Stitch and stuff like that, he would always do something bad or something like that. All the characters are wonderful, but there's something about the characters that can actually talk with you that I think adds just another level to the interaction. So I really enjoy the princesses. I think even if you're not a princess person, they're really great to see. Other ones that are my favorite are Mary Poppins. Love meeting with Mary Poppins. And I love when she appears sometimes with Bert. When you're there with Mary Poppins and Bert together, that's great. And I love meeting with Alice, too. I think that Alice, they always have the sweetest person with the sweetest Alice voice there. And just love her. Love having the chance to interact with Alice.
All right, Ricky, any thoughts for your favorite character interactions and must-dos?
So I had a really great character interaction just recently on my recent trip because I went to go meet Rapunzel and I was dressed in my Rapunzel dress. So that was a really great interaction because, you know, she was really excited that I was there and that I, you know, was resembling her. So that was really cool recently. But one of my favorite character interactions, well, besides Brian's favorite character interaction for me, which is when I met Figment. The large Figment that they had at one point, you know, I also met the little Figment when I was a kid. But one of my favorite other character interactions was when I did the 1900 Park Fair character dinner with the stepsisters.
They're crazy.
They are a riot, like so much fun. I absolutely highly suggest going to see the stepsisters for the 1900 Park Fair. They're only there at dinner, not at breakfast. And then another character meal that always has good character interaction is Garden Grill, too. Because the characters, you get to see them quite a few times. So they, once you get the pictures taken, then when they start coming around for the second or third time, they start having a little more fun with you. So that's kind of good, too.
They kind of get, they can't talk, but they say, get up, get out of my restaurant. You've had your food.
It's all you can eat. Chip and Dale were very excited about what they made me. So, you know.
That's it. All right. The next question says, help me from balding, about ready to pull my hair out. This is from Trisha. So we don't want anybody going bald unless you want to.
No.
I'm trying to figure out the park times, factoring in extra magic hours versus early morning magic hard ticket events. Ah, it's maddening. Specifically for February 10th, 2019, I have a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservation for my 5-year-old at 8 a.m. in the Magic Kingdom. Now I see that you can purchase tickets for early morning magic hours for the same day. How will this impact my reservation? We are not going to be purchasing tickets for this, so what do we do after the appointment is done? I'm assuming the park isn't open till 10 that day. Trisha's up in Wisconsin. All right, Ricky, so I would imagine the park would open at least by 9. So I would say they've in Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutiques, at least in our experience. I mean, it seems like it takes forever when Mallory used to do that. Thank goodness she's past it. Yes. Oh, that was a lot of money. A lot of time.
Yes. Okay.
So give her
thoughts. The early morning magic is different than the extra magic hours. So early morning magic is that hard ticket event that only takes place in Fantasyland right now at the Magic Kingdom. And during the event, guests who have purchased tickets for that get to go to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Peter Pan's Flight, and they get to go to Winnie the Pooh. I believe in December, though, they'll start to add three more attractions. And I don't remember what they are offhand. So, but I do know they're adding three more attractions.
Like Small World. So,
I don't remember which ones. So I'm a terrible person. but anyway, I'm a terrible blogger, but that's okay. So you won't really have any like issues, more or less, because the park will open at 9 o'clock. So those people, they get an hour and a half, I think, of attractions, and then they have the ability to go eat at Pinocchio's Village House right now. So they'll go eat there. So there's not really too much that will impact your reservation at Bibbidi Bobbidi Bobbidi. This is really just a small group of people that will be in the park ahead of the official park opening.
All right, that's good stuff. Yeah, so you'll just be able to go out into the park after, because you'll be at least by 9 o'clock, but by the time you're done, it'll be after 9, yeah. I would guess. Probably about 9:50, 9:30, if I had to guess. All right, next question. Good day from the land down under. 32 days before we arrive at Animal Kingdom Lodge for the first ever Disney trip for my family with my wife and 16-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son. Think about how awesome that has to be, a first Walt Disney World vacation coming from Australia. That's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
Here's continues. I went to Disneyland in 1987 with my parents when I was 12, and it was the most unmagical family holiday ever. Uh-oh. Being a small child in Australia, our only real Disney experiences were watching Wonderful World of Disney every single Sunday evening as a family event. Tinkerbell flies around the castle, sprinkles her fairy dust, and it all seems so wonderful and magical. Well, pre-internet days, and we arrived to see the castle covered in scaffolding for repairs. Space Mountain, 20,000 leagues under the sea. He put 2,000, but I'm guessing it was all 20,000 of them. And even the teacups were all closed down for over the 3 days we were there. At least Captain EO and Star Tours was running. Well, hey, Blake, you got Captain EO. Come on now. What do you want? You don't need a castle or Space Mountain. What do you? Anyway, fast forward 30 years, and my mother loses a very short battle with cancer. Before she left, we had talked about that previous trip, and she made me promise that we would give her grandchildren a trip that was pure magic. So I'm hoping to do that as I've put this trip together. I love this idea already. This is awesome. So here's what it is. Check this out. Everybody's going to be jealous. 14 days at Animal Kingdom Lodge. 10 park days, plus Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, all the amazing ADRs we wanted. First overseas trip for my son, and first time to the U.S. for the rest of my family. I've watched and followed so many YouTube vlogs, read thousands of blogs, have a well-worked-on touring plan, fast-pass modify techniques, rope-drop routes sorted. Whew, I need a holiday already, he says. Anyway, to my question. We scored free Disney dining, and I can't find info on how we actually use it with our magic bands. When we scan our band at, say, a quick service, does it know we want to use our Disney dining plan, or do we have to tell the cast member? With table service and the tip, a new thing for Australians, do we need cash, or can we use a credit card attached to our magic band? All right, this has got one other question, but let's stop there. He's got two. So explain, Pam, how they're on free dining, and if you buy the dining plan, it works exactly the same. It's not like it's noted different once you're on your vacation. It's just kind of the bottom line of what you pay. So work, Blake, through this, because, again, you know, even tipping's, I guess, I'm going to go to Australia. No, I don't mind tipping. Pam was a server, so I got to tip well. You know, and I always do, and you know what? It gets you a table every time when it's crowded. So anyway, explain how this is all going to work. They're going to have an amazing trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're going to be using one of the dining plans, and what's great is I would say 95% of servers right now, when you go to order or when you sit down, or they'll say to you, are you using one of Disney's dining plans today? And if you are, you'll just go ahead and say, yep, I am, and let them know that you're using one of the dining plans. And they, if you have questions, ask the server. They'll help be able to sort of guide you through that process. If there's any limitations, or there's things you aren't thinking about, or whatever, so make sure that you mention it to them. Then again, when you go to pay, they'll scan your magic band and they'll pull the entitlements off for the meals that you're using. And on the receipt, you'll actually get to see what the suggested tip is. So remember that. And the receipt will also show you how many, for instance, if you're using table service credits, how many table service credits you have remaining for the rest of your stay. So it's actually a really easy thing to use and take advantage of.
Yeah, it's super simple. I mean, you'll just tell them you're on the plan. Boom, they'll take the credit and keep track. Go ahead, Ricky.
They can use a credit card to pay the tip, right? Yes, I think that's one of the questions that they were asking. So, yes.
Disney will take your money really any way that they can.
Yeah.
They really don't say no. He says, if I can sneak in a second quick question, how many special event badges can we get? And is that just for the Magic Kingdom? It's my wife and my 20th wedding anniversary, first visit, and doing it in memory for my mom. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thanks heaps. Blake is, check this out, 15,207 kilometers or 9,449 miles from the world. Blake, it's great to meet you, buddy. Thanks for writing in from Australia. That makes my day. So, Ricky, what's the rules with the badges or the, as we call them here in the United States, pins, the celebration
or
pins?
Or buttons.
Buttons. Yeah, buttons. I don't even know what they're called. Shoot, I'm from Missouri.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, you don't know what they're called either. Guess what? You can get as many buttons as you would like. So if you want an anniversary button, you can get that. If you want, kind of an in-memory button, that you can get that. And you can get a first-time button. You can get as many buttons as you want. You're all good.
That is. Yep. All right. Let's go back to the chat. We love our chatters. Hey, Mike, we're deciding to fly down 2 days early for our February vacation. Last time we stayed in a car suite because of sleeping arrangements with our small kids. Any recommendations for similar accommodations at that price level? So, Pam, they're looking for something kind of similar to the Cars family suite. Maybe something. I mean, there's not a whole lot of options other than All-Star Music, but I wouldn't.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
All-Star Music does have family suites as well, and sometimes those are available when the car suites aren't. The great news about the family suites available at Disney's Art of Animation Resort is that you can choose between three different themes. So they have car suites, they have Nemo suites, and they also have Lion King suites. So let's say you just wanted to try a different theme, but you loved the setup of that resort. Why not try like a Nemo suite or a Lion King suite? Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to see that. But the other resort that has the kind of split sleeping arrangement, which is what most parents really appreciate, is All-Star Music. They also have family suites available. Now, the other thing you might want to consider is Fort Wilderness Cabin.
That's what I was thinking. Yep. About the same price. Yep.
So they have, in addition, they have a full kitchen, by the way, instead of the kitchenette, that's available at the family suites. They have a separate bedroom that has a queen bed and bunk beds. And then they also have a pull-out couch that's in the living room. So that's something you may want to consider, but make sure you look at the room diagram to see if that's actually going to work for you. Those are over at the Mouse for Less in the resort section. You can see those. We still keep those room diagrams, although they're getting more and more challenging to find. But anyways, I guess Disney feels like people may not want to see that. And I'm always like, that's the most valuable piece of information right there, right? The other thing you might want to consider is a one bedroom, although that's going to be a lot pricier. But it does have, again, a full bedroom. It has a full kitchen. It has a living room, areas, things like that. And those are available at the resorts that are deluxe villas. So that's almost all the deluxe resorts at this point.
So what I would say, too, is when you're considering a cabin at Fort Wilderness, and this is why I have not stayed there yet, is that you got to make sure that the family is into that style of accommodation where my wife needs a food court. She needs, you know, like she needs the hotel like stay, you know, she doesn't want to deviate from like the Marriott or the Hilton, you know, like what you get at a typical hotel. Like she wants it to be close. She wants to be able to go down and get something to drink out of the soda machine. You know, the Fort Wilderness thing is amazing and it's great. I would do it in a heartbeat, but she said, nope. So I've got the big veto. So you just got to make sure everybody's good. But the pricing is going to be similar and you'll get slightly more space in the bigger, you know, full kitchen and stuff like that. So it's something to look into. All right. So the next question is from Carrie up in Wisconsin. She says, hey, Mike, Pam and Ricky, I'm planning for a multi-generational trip for the first time and have a couple questions. He says this is about her fast pass selection date is fast approaching. My family of four with kids ages 9 and 11 will be arriving January 26th, a day ahead of our grandparents, who will arrive at MCO at 11 a.m. the following day. We're planning on rope dropping Magic Kingdom for extra magic hours that morning starting at 8, then leaving to meet up with the grandparents when they arrive at the resort Coronado Springs. We will then all head to Epcot, where we'll have dining reservations at 6:20 p.m. I'm thinking that we should just book fast passes that day for Epcot for all six of us beginning in the afternoon. I know this will mean no fast passes for the morning at Magic Kingdom, but it will allow us to all ride together and hopefully have shorter fast pass lines, which will be good for the grandparents. Does this sound like a good plan? What time do you think we should schedule our first fast passes that day? Is 3 p.m. too early? Thanks so much for your help. I look forward to listening to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. It's the best way to commute to work. Carrie's up in, Wisconsin cities are hard. Waukesha, Wisconsin. I know I probably just screwed that up. We'll say you're in Green Bay. There you go. I can say Green Bay. We're moving you, Carrie. You're in Green Bay, Wisconsin. No, you're in Waukesha. What? Waukesha. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, Carrie knows where she lives, and that's what's important, I hope. So I like this plan, actually, myself, because at the Magic Kingdom, if you get that rope drop, you're going to just knock stuff out like crazy, especially, I'm not saying anything bad about the grandparents, but when you don't have the grandparents there, you're going to be moving quicker, and you're going to be just, like, agile and just going places, because you're going to be, it's like your first day, too. Like, that first day, man, you are so amped up, like, you're just going. You're going to be fine. And then when you get there, it's like money in the bank. You got fast passes. You got shorter waits. You got the grandparents there. You're getting like a great morning and a guaranteed great afternoon and a great meal that night at Epcot. Pam, thoughts? I mean, I think they're right on the right track here.
I do, too. I mean, there's so many variables, but I feel like you've had it. You've kind of taken it all into consideration. And the only thing is, you know your family best. Like, you know how you're all going to operate best together. So is it going to be too much? Not enough? Just right? I mean, you know, that's something that you'll know as well. And also consider on what day it is as part of your vacation. Like, things are a little more casual or not as intense at the beginning of the vacation. And then as it gets toward the end of the vacation, people are like, okay, I have my list of 35 things I have not done yet.
Time's ticking. Let's get clicking.
If you even have to stop there in the bathroom, you're out. So anyways, think about those things.
This is going to be the most magical, freaking magical 24 hours before at the end of our trip that you've ever had. You're going to be
right.
Farting
it's all
pixie dust.
Magical.
That's
it
exactly
is.
It. All right.
It gets more magical as the trip goes on.
That's it. It gets more intense. I can tell you that. All right. Next question is from Megan in the chat. We're going back and forth from inbox to chat. Best resort to stay when going to Food and Wine and maybe a Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios day. Adulting trip. Ricky, you're the queen of adulting. Oh. Well, you try.
Am I an adult? I don't really know.
When you pull out the Ethernet cord, you are adulting. So we're going to say that. Okay. So they're going for Food and Wine, right, but they're going to hop to the Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios maybe. But adults, where are you staying?
I mean, I would do Beach Club, Boardwalk, or Yacht Club. One of those, I think. Absolutely. 100%. Because you're right there. You're right by the World Showcase. You can, get to Magic Kingdom pretty easily, and then you can walk to Hollywood Studios, too. So, that's where I'm staying.
Yep. Boom. I would say, if you can swing a deluxe, any of the Epcot Air resorts, if you're looking for the moderate, Coronado Springs. And if you're looking for the value, Pop Century. That's where I'm going.
Yeah. I think those are good choices.
There you go. All three. All right. I
mean, of course you chose Coronado Springs, but
because
it's
the closest to the Hollywood. It's closest to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. All right. Next question. Listen to this title. Somebody wants to get to the top of the queue and it worked. 28 days till my freaking magical vacation. So here we go. Boom. You're at the top of the list, Valerie. All right. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're getting so close to our vacation to the most magical place on Earth. And I just had a couple of questions I hope you guys could help me out with. This trip is just myself and my 13-year-old son, and it's his very first trip. I love this first trips. I was thinking of doing a couple of extras to make his trip even more freaking magical and was wondering your thoughts on the new Disney After Hours for Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. If you were to pick one, which would you do? We are down there for 2 full weeks. What? And that wasn't an email. And have a few places we're going to check out, including that other place. Have no idea what you're talking about. Possibly Kennedy Space Center, but I'm undecided. Is it something we need a full day for? Other than renting a car, how would we get there? Any help you would provide would be amazing. Thank you for your help, and thank you for making the most entertaining podcast out there. Love it. Val's 2,671 miles from Pam, 3,214 from the Magic Kingdom in the cold country of Canada. All right. Well, those Canadians have a mouth on them when they write in. I'm saying, it's like you're playing hockey. When I used to play hockey, boy, because I played with a lot of Canadians. Whew. I mean, I can't even get into it. We're a family podcast. Well, it's like, is that like, it's just a puck. There's no adjective in front of that puck. Is there? Maybe there is. Anyway, so it's a pass the puck. And because I was kind of a puck hog. I could shoot because of forward. Anyway, back to that. Forget my hockey days. So let's get to her question. She's going for 2 weeks. You guys rock. So after hours, we're going to talk about that a little bit on Friday, but Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios, Pam, you're going to the electric chair. Which one are you picking for your last night?
Why are we doing that?
I'm just playing. Anyway.
Gosh, do I have to pick a song?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a chainsaw. Rawr! Just kidding. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, oh, golly.
There's a right and a wrong answer for this one, I think.
When are they traveling?
25 days from today.
Okay. So I'm actually going to pick Hollywood Studios.
Good call.
Because the holiday decorations are going to be up. And, you know, we've talked about that ad nauseum about how much we love Hollywood Studio holiday decorations. And they've even added more this year. It's like they're adding new things each year.
Those little dolls are creepy as all get out. I'm not even sure about those things. So I'm terrified by those
dolls.
Go
back and look at what decorations used to look at during that
time. I'm sure. I know. But those, I mean, it's fine when they're small little things. Those are like huge, gigantic. Those are terrifying. I'm just saying.
Let me jump in on that conversation real quick, because I was watching the Match Game while I was working the other day. Okay, you know the 70s show that we did on the cruise?
Yes.
So there's somebody on the panel. Her name's like Fanny Flack or something. I don't know. But she had on a Mickey Mouse sweater, and that Mickey Mouse on that sweater looked like he was coming for you, man. He was weird looking. It was worse than that new Mickey Mouse. I'm not a big fan of the new Mickey Mouse, but this one looked like... like they put that on a sweater that had to scare every kid in the world.
Oh, anyway. My goodness. Okay.
So there's Gene Rayburn story of the day. Pam, so you said Hollywood Studios. Ricky, where'd you go?
Okay. So for the Disney After Hours. So I am actually going to choose, Animal Kingdom. And one word, Pandora. You get access to Pandora. And I think that that's going to be far and away the better option, because I feel like you can still get on the attractions, the Toy Story attractions, which is what's offered for the other Disney After Hours event in Hollywood Studios. I feel like you can get on those pretty easily sort of in the evening without having the extra hours. So, but it's still really hard to get on Pandora attractions. So I'm going Pandora.
And I would totally go over to Kennedy Space Center because you have the time. You're there for two weeks. You need to rent a car, but you can do that on property at Walt Disney World pretty easily. They'll come pick you up. You can get the car. It's about a 45 to 50 minute drive over to Cocoa Beach, Titusville, Space Coast area. I would do a full day because there's a lot there. And I think your son is the perfect age, 13 year old. He's going to love it. You are as well if you're any kind of space fan. But plan a full day. And also, you know what? As you leave Kennedy Space Center before you head back to Walt Disney World or Universal, wherever you're heading that night, go down A1A or whatever that is, US 1, where like the Ron John's is and the Cocoa Beach Surf Company. I mean, it's touristy, but it's like it's classic American touristy. And just go down there and just see it. And you should really go into Ron John's. I think everybody should go in there. It's all junk, but you're like, I need those flip-flops for $9. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
I need that, mini surfboard. We have so many of those when we used to drive. Like, it's not a surfboard. It's like a... I don't know. It's like maybe 3 feet, 2 feet long, but like you held it out in the beach. Yeah, wakeboard. Yeah. And there's not even like big waves out there, but everybody's got them. You know, they're like suckers from Missouri thinking they're going to surf. So we got a bunch of those out in the shed. They're fun. All right. Next question says holiday road trip to Disney. It is actually spelled like that. It's from Aaron. Hey, BOGP crew. Love the show. Thanks for all you do to make gearing up for a Disney vacation both fun and informative. Tuning into you guys each week has not only helped me plan an epic vacation for my family, but also made all the waiting to get down there so much more bearable. We're kicking off the holidays early by taking our Christmas-obsessed five-year-old on her very first trip to Walt Disney World November 9th through the 15th. Hope you're having a good time. We are staying at Port Orleans Riverside and have six-day park hopper passes. We are road tripping down there, and I would love any trips or trips or I can't even say it. Tips or tricks, do's or don'ts. There's too many slashes in this thing. You have about taking your car to Walt Disney World. I have factored transportation time into our plans, but still want to get around the most efficient way possible. Is there a time or situation where, while on property, that you would always drive or never drive? If we drive to a resort, can we hop into a park for a few hours, like park at the boardwalk in the evening and walk to Epcot, or is that a no-go? More specifically, we are going to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on November 13th and will not be heading to the park that day until much later in the afternoon. Would you drive or take Disney transportation on that night? Thanks a billion. You guys rock. Erin is in Southern Illinois, 912 long miles from the world. And she says, hashtag, are we there yet? I like that. And lots of slashes. All right. So this has really kind of changed because of the parking fee. You know, I think that I was toying with the idea of driving down for a few days with Mallory because I want to drive my Jeep in the wintertime down there and take the top down for a little bit, or maybe even marathon weekend. But when I factor in, no kidding, when I factor in the price of parking in the price of a Southwest Airlines ticket down there, it really doesn't even make sense to drive down there anymore. With the gas and the parking fees, you're almost coming out ahead flying now, which is bizarre. But they're driving. They're going on the road trip, like the Griswolds. Going to have, you know what? There's nothing better than a good road trip. You got to love it. I mean, you got to love it, especially from Southwestern Illinois. You're going the same route I always took. So have fun in Paducah and Chattanooga and Nashville and Atlanta. And, let's see. When you get to Valdosta, you're almost there, but you're really not. You got 4 more hours, 3.5.
No, you're not. Trust me.
But I used to think
Valdosta,
that.
It's my white whale. No.
I always say we're going to stop in Valdosta for the night and rest. And I'm like, every time we get to Valdosta, I'm like, oh, dude, we're almost to Florida. Forget it. Just go all the way in. But then you would regret it by the time you got to, like, Lake City. You're like, oh, stupid.
Anyway, so. I have to keep driving through Valdosta, though. So,
You're in Georgia. Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, you're in Georgia. So, Ricky, you drive. Here's what I would say, though, when you get there with your car. I never drive to the Magic Kingdom. It's a hassle. You got to deal with the TTC. I take a bus because they drop you off right up front. So, always, even the Christmas party night, take a bus. Way easier. Yes. They frown upon you going to a resort and going into a theme park. You don't want to do that. That's not a good idea. But any other tips, Ricky, that you've learned? Because you typically have your car because you drive down.
I do drive down. So I mean, I have to drive to all the parks because I'm not staying on property. Like you said, if you are staying on property, I would absolutely take the bus to the Magic Kingdom. I think that that's way easier, especially because it drops you off right there. Instead of if you drive, you have to go to the TTC and then you have to take the monorail or boat over. So I would definitely take the bus. But for every other park, really parking at the theme parks is going to be a lot faster for you, I feel like. So, you don't have to wait on the bus to show up and anything like that. So I never have any problems driving to the rest of the other parks. So I think that would be my suggestion, would be to drive.
I would say the same thing, yeah. I mean, because you can really knock out. Pam, you guys rent a car and you drive to almost everywhere, but is it the same for you, Magic Kingdom? But, well, you guys, what do you do? I mean, what's your typical strategy with the car? Because you always have one.
We drive the car almost everywhere, I will say. There, once in a very long while, I will take, we'll take the bus transportation to the Magic Kingdom just because, there is that challenge that you have to park at the TTC and then take the ferry or the monorail over. But other than that, we typically drive. And Steve even likes to drive in that case, too. He just feels like he's more in control and we can come and go as we like. And the idea of a packed bus at night, like, gives him vibes. So.
That's true. I'll agree.
Yeah, and that's the thing, think about it. It's not always the ride in, it's the ride out.
It's true.
But here's another thing that we've learned, and actually Hannah and I will be down there for a little bit before Thanksgiving, before Steve gets there. We don't have a car, and one of the things I do is if we happen to stay until park closing, I just hang out a little bit longer. I let because it's like, it's so weird because it's just like the fireworks end and boom, people are
everybody leaves.
And if you would just wait like really 20 to 30 minutes, then you really wouldn't have to deal with that. And it's like with all things, I understand people have tired children, they're doing all that. But I just, if you take that simple advice, I think that you save everyone a lot of stress and a little bit of aggravation.
Yeah, so. I agree. So I think that's about it. Let's see. We got one last question. Sorry, I got distracted there. This one question we're going to leave for a whole nother show because we've got a great question that's going to be a show topic from Jamie. But let's get to this one from James. When do corral assignments usually come out for marathon weekend? Usually, Ricky, I don't really pay attention because I don't really worry. Like, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. That's what I've always told myself. I'd say that because, like, when I get, like, a P corral and I'm like, man, it would be nice to be in the same zip code as the start line when I'm going to my corral. You know, because, like, marathon weekend, they put you down, like, why am I at the studios? I thought this race started at Epcot. Mm-hmm. Well, sir, you are. Your corral's at the studios. You will get to Epcot by the time you get to the start line. I'm like, but that's 2 miles. They're like, well, you're doing 28.6, sucker. You know, so.
Might as well do two more. Yeah.
By the time you get dropped off by the buses, it's like three more. It's like, dude, this Adobe challenge just on Sunday by itself. Anyway, usually about a month out, I think, Ricky. I mean, is that about right? You'll see it. It'll be all over social media. People want to know where
it'll be everywhere. Yes, yeah, especially if you're in a running group or anything like that. Yeah, you will find out, hey, they posted the corrals. So, yeah, it's usually about a month before or so.
Yeah.
Month, 3 weeks, somewhere on there.
And we're 56 days from marathon weekend, so in the next month, we'll know what letter's going to be on your bib. I can't wait. Doesn't matter where you start, it's where you finish. And doesn't really matter where you finish as long as you finish. Don't forget that. Tips from Mike.
Hey, Brian says there's no shame in quitting, so, you know.
Yeah, there's no shame in quitting when you hit the beach club for marathon weekend. Yeah, you can see the finish line. No worries on quitting right now. No worries. We're not going to be mad. Anyway, all right, it's going to do it for today's questions. Thank you so much. Send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to more next Wednesday. But until then, we've got a great sponsor, our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, Ricky. What are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
Well, this week has actually been kind of quiet, or at least was. It won't be by the time this has come out, but that's okay. But we are reading about the loss of Stan Lee this week. So, our thoughts are with his family, and, he will definitely be missed. And so, you know, that's kind of the news that I have for this week is the passing of Stan Lee.
That's sad. And he was in his 90s, correct?
He was like 95, which is a fantastic life. I mean, when you think about it, 95. We all should strive to live at, to 95. So, yeah.
And he was still like very
active. Yeah, he was like getting around like super well, too. So, you know, good on him.
Yeah. I think that was well said. You know, we could all wish that we could live a life that long and a life that full. So, thanks for all the fantasies you created for us. Even though I'm not a Marvel guy, I know that he did a lot, and people revere him. So that's very, very, a very sad loss. All right. Don't forget, also, we have a great Amazon affiliate link. You know, the holidays are getting here. I mean, this year, I think, I don't know if it's just me, but like, you know, people say like Christmas before turkey, like that you're bad. That has gone away this year. Like, I mean, there is not a commercial, right? The political commercials ended, and every commercial is Christmas, which I'm a big Christmas fan, so I'm not really complaining too much. But the holidays are here. We're not waiting to Black Friday. Like, all the deals are out there, I think, right now. Amazon's offering free shipping on everything, I think, for everybody. So when you do that online shopping at Amazon, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it on all your devices. We'd sure appreciate that. It really does help support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod. And @BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And we have a YouTube channel. Check it out, youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. You get all the bonus footage. You get to hear us troubleshoot Ricky's internet woes today. It was
That's
awesome.
Right, exactly.
It was exciting.
It's super exciting. I'm sorry for all of you that were watching.
The world cheered when she got the internet cord out. It was awesome. So go check that out as well. And, of course, we're going to be back on Friday talking about all the happenings here in the end of 2018 down at Walt Disney World to make your next trip awesome. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday, but it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.